Okay, so my name is Tim Owen Jones, and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square, London.
You say Tim?
Tim, yes.
Tim!
It's the 13th of October, 2009, and the time is approximately 10 past 7 at night. Can you tell me your name, your age, and where you come from?
My name is Phil Butler. My age is 39 now. And where am I from? Originally, Essex.
Okay.
Clacton-on-Sea, seaside town.
Okay.
Yeah.
How was it you found out about the One Another Project?
My mates. Two of my mates. One guy is called Terry Andrews, who I kind of grew up with back home in Clacton. The other guy was a guy called Andy Smith, who was a mate of mine from my early career. And we kept in touch. Basically, I was talking to both of them on the internet, and both of them were talking about, you know, they're from completely different parts of the country, and both of them were talking about this One Another project and said, you know, you should get on it, have a look, you know, oneanother.co.uk. And so I said, okay, I'll have a look. And they said, we're going to apply. So I went, okay, all right, that's good. And they went, you should apply, you know, being in showbiz and all that sort of stuff, you should apply and, you know, get up there and do a bit. And I went, oh, I don't know, you know. And they said, no, go on. So I just went, oh, okay, you know, just to shut them up, really. I just applied. And here I am. I got the email saying, you know, you've been selected from thousands of people. So and here I am.
How was that? How did you react when you received the email?
Oh, my God.
I don't even,
you know, I was just like, oh, God, I've got to do something now. You know, I've got to think of something to do. And, you know, and yeah, I didn't want to do my act up there. You know, I'm a stand-up comedian, and I didn't want to do my show up there. And it's a good job, really. There's no amplification, is there? And it, you know, the audience is going to be rubbish. So that was me, really. That's how I got to be here.
And how did you get into stand-up? Can you tell us the story then about how you kind of
used to be a magician. It all started at school. It was my teacher was well. I was very, very young. I was always into practical jokes. I was always the kid walking down to school with one of those invisible dogs, you know, the stiff dog lead, stopping at trees and stuff like that. And basically, from practical jokes, it then turned to magic. And then when I was in high school, my teacher, Mr. Pennyfold, who was one of those guys who was, call me Bob, he was teaching me maths. And he was also a magician, and his thing was that if you did the first half of the lesson and knuckled down and did the maths, in the second half of the lesson he'd show you magic tricks, and I would love that. So I, you know, so now I'm quite good at maths as well, because of that. And basically just went from there, and then when I left school I went to college to be a chef, and when I got my first job leaving college I was in a hotel which was across the road from a magic emporium. Like a kids' emporium, like a place where the kids would go and play games and go around a big, you know, fun emporium and all that sort of stuff. And then they'd go down three times a day and see magic shows in a little theatre. And I loved magic and all that sort of stuff. So I'd go when I had a little break, I'd go over and sort of, you know, and got to know the magicians and all that sort of stuff. And then I thought, I wouldn't mind getting into this. And my hand was forced because I was working as a chef. And I cut two fingers. I cut my forefinger on my right hand with a meat slicing machine. And then I went to casualty for that. And then came back with my bandage around my finger and trying to cut carrots. And went through my middle finger on my left hand. So I've got eight fingers left. And I thought, I've got to try something else, you know. So that's what I did. It was my 18th birthday, and I had a little bit of inheritance from my nan, rest in peace. And I went out and bought promotion photographs, magic tricks, and went to the guy and said, you know, I'd like to get into this magic thing. And he said, you can sell ice cream outside all day long, and then about 5 o'clock you can come in and do a magic show. And so then that just snowballed, and I became the resident magician there. And then from magic, I went to on a tour doing magic and comedy, and, you know, bringing more comedy in and taking more magic out. And, you know, then the comedy just sort of overtook. And, you know, through the years, I mean, it's 21 years this year. So through the years, it's, you know, sort of magic's gone and comedy's sort of come in.
And then how's the industry for you? What's it like kind of, you know, working in showbiz and working
love
as
it. Absolutely love it. I work as a stand-up comic on the comedy circuit. I do all the big ones, Jonglers, you know, all the clubs around the UK. Also go out and entertain the troops out in Afghanistan. I've been out there 6 times, entertaining the guys out there, which prompted me to, you know, do work for Help for Heroes and stuff like that. And through the years, just worked all over the world now, you know. Well, you name it, I've been there. Apart from Australia, don't name Australia.
And what was it like going out to Afghanistan? What's your kind of relationship like, you know, with the chaps Great. That are out there, and how
yeah.
does that make you feel?
Absolutely fantastic. Because the thing with doing the gigs for the guys out in Afghanistan, they are living this war day in, day out. They're doing, you know, they're getting up in the morning, they're putting their uniforms on, and they're going out and they're fighting for this country, and you know, fighting for their mates that they're living with, and it's really stressful for them. And for just that little time that we're out there entertaining them, they can forget about all of that and just, you know, let their minds wander and just enjoy a comedy show. Yeah.
What things would you say are most important to you at the moment in your life?
Things that are most important to me in my life at the moment. Well, you know, I would say, you know, number one, you know, family and stuff like that. You know, career-wise, I would say my podcast. I'm trying to get my podcast off the ground, which is going really, really well at the moment. I'm on. I posted episode 16 last night, so that's all up and running. That's at www.thegreenroompodcast.com. So that's quite important to me. It's been taken up as well by Chortle. Chortle.co.uk are going to be featuring it on their front page, so I should be getting a few people from that. Basically, I just want to try and get as many people as I can listening to this podcast, and you know, get up on the ratings on iTunes and all that sort of stuff, and create another string to my bow as an interviewer. You know, as just doing something other than stand up.
And what kind of themes do you explore in your work?
In my act. Well, my act is kind of, it's that nobody else really does anything like I do. Basically, I'm taking all of the genres of a light entertainment show, and I'm turning them on their head. So I'll do spoof magic tricks, and I'll do spoof impressions and spoof ventriloquism. I used to eat fire. But I'm doing it in a different way, you know, to the way that you kind of a Tommy Cooper type thing, you know. It's very, very difficult to tell you exactly what my act is like. You'd have to see it. But just basically going out and having a laugh and, you know, having fun myself, and then hopefully that will go over into the audience. If they see me having a laugh and having a giggle and just messing around and acting like a kid, then that's gonna bring out the kid in them, and they're gonna go with it.
And what about your spare time? What do you get up to when you're not working?
God, I don't really have any spare time at the moment. This podcast has taken over everything, really, and I should really, you know, make a bit more, you know, time for other things. But I mean, I like to draw. I like to go fishing. Went on a nice Norfolk Broads trip with the missus. Did a little bit of fishing. That was a disaster, really, because we spent 4 or 5 days out there on the Norfolk Broads, and I got so relaxed that when I had to go back to work, I've got to be this kind of upbeat, wacky comic, and I'm really sort of, oh no, I'm just so relaxed, I can't get back into it. But no, it was the absolute best. It was really good. Yeah, that's basically all I do in my spare time. Yeah, the spare time that I have.
And how about hopes and fears for the future?
Hopes and fears for the future. Hopes, for a better and a more diverse career, to go, you know, to go back to do the gigs for the troops, which is a big part of what I like to do. And fears that isn't going to happen, you know, just to, you know, make enough money to be comfortable, to, you know, to look after everybody, and just, you know, just to move ahead and be successful, I think. Yeah.
What's it like being one of 2,400 people that get to take part in the One Another piece?
What's that like? Well, I do feel privileged because of the lottery thing of it, you know, the thing about it, and it's, you know, it's a big deal that this is happening, and that it's been happening for, what, 15 weeks now, is it? So, yeah, that's got to be a privilege, you know, because how many people have gone for a place? You know, that's thousands and thousands of people. So, yeah, it's... it is a privilege to be able to do it, you know, and to be part of it. And I've just found out there's a couple of books as well, which is great. You know, never been in a book before, so that'd be cool. Just ready to get out and see what's what, really.
And how are you feeling approximately half an hour before you go up on the plinth?
I'm pretty relaxed. I don't really get nervous when I do my shows these days, unless it's a big deal show, like a TV bit, or it's a big venue that I've never worked before. And but, you know, I never really get, I mean, I get apprehensive and I get nervous and all that sort of stuff, but I'm not going to be going up there trying to get laughs, so it's going to be, I'll probably have an easier time up there than most people would. You know, I've seen a few people up there, I've seen people coming out of filing cabinets. I've seen people making card towers with CD cases, topless girls, you know, people just sitting up there reading books, you know. I'm gonna see where I go with it. I've not really given it a lot of thought. I have given it some thought and kind of rested on what I'm gonna do tonight. But basically, I mean, I think it's just the same as everybody else that goes up there. I think a lot of it's going to be winging it, you know. But I don't think I'll have much of a problem. I've heard that people are getting 20 minutes into it, 25 minutes into it, and then going, oh, I have nothing else to do. Oh, I'm going to do now for another half hour. But, you know, the drawing that I'll be doing will keep, you know, keep the interest there, I would think. Because I always liked those shows, you know, Bob Ross and, you know, and going way back, Paint Along with Nancy. You probably wouldn't remember that, Paint Along with Nancy. But, you know, they would do a picture in an hour or half an hour or something, and it would keep your interest, because you'd be, oh, yeah, I see where that's going, you know. Plus, I'm going to be, you know, kind of advertising a few bits and bobs that I'm doing, you know. I've got, today is the release of my new DVD. 21st anniversary DVD, which has got a show that I did recently on there with, there's also archive footage and a couple of episodes of my podcast, secret feature, probably shouldn't have told you about that, so it's exciting today for that reason as well, because it's kind of a coincidence that's come round as well, you know, that today is the release of my DVD online, you know, and it went live this afternoon. So this is the perfect opportunity to mention that and to get people, you know, having a look at that.
So what do you envisage, kind of, what do you expect to take away from the experience of going up on the plinth?
Well, it's something different, isn't it? It's just something completely different. So that's probably what I'll take from it. It'd just be a little bit of fun. And that's, you know, basically what I love about life is a little bit of adventure, you know, and, you know, like when I went out, when I've been out to Afghanistan and all that sort of stuff, it's the adventure of it, you know, as well as anything else. And so I think the adventure of just going up and doing something that is completely different, that not many other people have done, you know.
Would you like to say anything else about you, about what you're doing, about the project?
No. No, I wouldn't. No, I think we covered everything. I think just get up there and just have a little bit of a laugh, see what happens, and you know, maybe I'll take a few phone calls up there, and you know, I've got a little speaker that I can plug my phone into and stuff like that. So I mean, that was one of the initial thoughts that I had, that I was going to do like a kind of an episode of The Green Room, you know, interview a comedian via telephone. But it's not really The Green Room, is it? It's you know, but I still might do something like that, you know. I've got a couple of comics numbers in my phone, and maybe I can give them a ring. Maybe Davro will be getting a call or something like that, you know. So, you know, who knows?
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.